girls and stuff.
No, you're good.
Good evening. Whoa, how you doing? My name is David Blewett. I am City Councilman for District 14, and it is my great honor to represent this district, and it's my honor to be here tonight. We are here tonight because there is a proposal to make an overview or expansion of terms to this area. And the proposal, the authorized hearing that we're going through, has been in process for a little while. And it started before I got on council, but now that it's under my umbrella, I thought it was important to have outreach and to make sure we had community involvement and make sure we were all on the same page. Some of you may have been involved in a previous version or previous meetings involving this agenda item, but it's new for me, so I'm happy to be here. And those of you who haven't been here, it'll be good for you too. So part of my asking to have this meeting is really just to introduce the people who will be presenting tonight. So we're going to have a presentation from, I don't know if we're going to call it Connect, what are we going to call
Connect?
Who will talk about some of the connecting ideas and the expansion ideas of this PD. And then we'll have city staff come in and talk about some of the issues that we're going to deal with. And we'll also talk about next steps in terms of this process. And then we'll be following a very standard process in whether we decide to go forward with this expansion. So with that, we do have city staff here. We have Arts and Connect, and hopefully have a bunch of neighbors. But again, we'll go ahead and start this presentation. And then at the end of both presentations, we will, like I said, have Q&A. So we'll go around with either the microphone or depending on how many of you want to ask questions, but we'll make sure we answer everything that you have. But let's go ahead and get started.
I'm not going to use the handheld because I think you can hear me, correct? I'm Lily Weiss, and I'm proud to be the Executive Director of the Dallas Arts District and to welcome you for this inaugural kickoff of the Dallas Arts District Connect Master Plan. Councilmember Blewett and staff and the Dallas Museum of Art, thank you for hosting this kickoff meeting for the Dallas Arts District. Having worked in the Dallas Arts District since 1978, and you can do the math, I was only two when I was employed, I have seen this neighborhood blossom into a neighborhood that is the intersection of culture, commerce, and community. I'm excited to begin the collaboration with the City of Dallas and to introduce the Connect Plan to you this evening, inviting each of you to collaborate with us and to go on this journey to make this district a pedestrian-friendly, safe, multimodal, and that creates connections to our surrounding neighborhoods. As you can see, the Dallas Arts District Connect Master Plan has been nearly 4 years in the making. It actually began before my tenure here with the Dallas Arts District. The board in 2015 marked it as a priority. It has been the number one priority since 2015. I joined, I want to say 4 months after the contract was signed with our consultants, NBBJ, out of Boston. But the process had already started in February 2016. And at a very high level, Councilmember Blewett did explain to you, this consists of proposed PD amendments to the existing PDs 145, which is Flora Street, the original arts district, the existing 708, which is on the other side of Ruth, and that's Billingsley and Dallas Black Dance Theater, Fellowship Church and Arts Apartments, and with a proposed expansion south of Ross, one block, to San Jacinto from I-75 to St. Paul. Oh, I have music to accompany me. It's appropriate for this. I love that. On cue. And I just wanted to let you know that this plan not only outlines PD amendments, it also has a master plan guidance and vision plan that goes along with it. And it does update the existing Sasaki plan, which is 36 years old, and it is in alignment with the downtown 360 plan. I was a teacher, so I should be able to do this. Here we go. The primary overarching goals are to improve pedestrian safety and experience by establishing new streetscape standards, improving street and pedestrian LED lighting, incorporating sustainable features while widening sidewalks, and improving ADA compliance. The Connect plan will provide a future roadmap of priority infrastructure improvements for the Dallas Arts District that will have an impact on generations to come. It creates a multimodal neighborhood where pedestrians, cars, scooters, bicycles, autonomous cars, flying cars, and any transportation of the future can coexist in a safe and connected environment for residents, employees, and visitors. It hopes to create a more dynamic live, work, play neighborhood, to improve connectivity with all of our surrounding neighborhoods, to update the urban design guidelines known as the Sasaki Plan, and to increase programming in the public realm in collaboration with all of our stakeholders. This planning process has been 4 years in the making. In December 2015, it began with the hiring of MBBJ, and the initial research meetings occurred in February 2016. By May 2016, the key strategies that Alan Mountjoy of MBBJ will discuss tonight were decided on and identified, and we have never wavered from those key strategies. They have run the test of time of 4 years. In 2017, we focused on the needs of the master plan and articulated them in the 2017 bond proposal. The results are improvements at the Reese Street Gateway and at Pearl and Flora Street. Again, beginning to provide safety and connectivity. And at that time, we published a website that is a public website, Dallas Arts District Connect.org, to invite our community to give us feedback and to follow this process along the way. For 8 months in 2018, we met with developers, property owners, and stakeholders to find a balance of the needs of this mixed-use neighborhood. We conducted over 80 meetings in 3 years, in addition to meeting our infrastructure committee monthly. Our community engagement was strong. We involved not only our stakeholders, our surrounding neighbors, our homeowners associations, our developers, our property owners, our management teams, and again, our team, which is the Infrastructure Committee, met every month, and it was paramount to the process thus far and led to the unanimous vote to file the Connect Plan with the City of Dallas in late October 2018. I have witnessed the growth of this neighborhood over the past 4 years, but especially over the past 10 years, with recent groundbreakings and renovations that have already introduced some of the PD amendments and design guidelines into these existing developments and renovations. Some are the Guadalupe Cathedral's renovation of the plaza, Trammell Crow Center, which you will see referenced in a rendering on Ross Avenue, providing wider sidewalks, street activation, increased restaurant retail, the upcoming opening of the Hall Arts Hotel and residences are going to create this 24/7 neighborhood, Chase Tower renovations, and Atelier Flora Lofts. We engage stakeholders in the expansion area with individual meetings and by inviting them to the planning table. Spire, Hall Phase 3, Chase Tower Fortis Properties, 2100 Ross Avenue, First United Methodist Church, and St. Paul Place. The Connect Plan team consisted of all stakeholder representation in the Dallas Arts District, the City of Dallas Urban Planning Department, the Office of Arts and Culture, developers, property owners, with their design teams, and Downtown Dallas, Inc., along with our consultant teams of NBBJ, Suzanne Kevron of Jackson Walker, and Katie O'Brien with Macy Davis Associates. Our collaborator from the beginning has been NBBJ out of Boston. At this time, I'd like to introduce Alan Mountjoy, AIA principal with over 25 years in planning and urban design projects from around the world. He has taught at the Harvard Design School and is truly an expert in this particular neighborhood project, along with Alex Krieger, who is in the process of launching his new book today, so he could not be here because he's at a book signing, but we hope to bring him in later as this process progresses. So, without further ado, Alan Mountjoy.
Again, my name is Alan Mountjoy. I'm a principal with NBBJ out of Boston. Thank you, Lily. As Lily mentioned, it's been a couple years now since we identified the five key principles that guided the overall plan that was, as Lily mentioned, an update to a plan that was over 30 years old at the time that we came on board, the Sasaki Plan, which in many ways had served the district quite well. But we felt that it was time, I think everybody felt that it was time to really think quite differently about how the district has succeeded, and in many cases where things needed to be updated and improved. You can see this little, I call this the little noodle diagram here, which suggests all the connections that we would like to see the district make outside of the rather limited geography that was originally intended as the Arts District. As you know, it was very much clustered around Flora Street, and in many ways operated a bit as an enclave for quite a long time. The city has changed, the way people live have changed, the way we think about cities has changed, and the attitude to this plan is to expand beyond the traditional boundaries, the original boundaries. You won't see this in terms of how we're expanding the district, except for on the other side of Ross Avenue, but the intention of the plan is to work with the rest of the city, Dallas 360, lots of other stakeholders, in order to better connect the Arts District and take advantage of the reputation of the Arts District to establish value for all of the neighborhoods surrounding it, and specifically working to the west, where the Perot Museum has always been a bit of an outlier to the Arts District and poorly connected to the Arts District. Of course, Clybourne Park made a huge change to everybody's perceptions about what could happen in Dallas. And I think that the Arts District wants to embrace Clybourne Park and be part of the activity that's occurring there and have one very large district that is exciting, as Lily said, for everybody. And to be more open to those who may have felt excluded from the Arts District for years because it was felt that it wasn't for them. So that's really what we were striving for in this plan. The first thing we felt was important was to address the issue of Pearl Street. While it provides access to the district, is very much a divider as opposed to a uniter. If you've ever tried to cross Pearl Street from Flora, you realize that it's not a fun thing to do. And it's also very difficult to walk along the street. It was clearly designed not with pedestrians in mind. And in fact, that drawing that you saw earlier suggests that every street in the district should be pedestrian friendly. But of course, Pearl Street is probably the one that has the most challenging situation in terms of trying to make it a street that better balances vehicles with pedestrians. It's lined with lots of solid walls, the sidewalks are very narrow. Many people thought of it as something you didn't want to open up to because it was not very attractive. So, our vision for Pearl Street is that it becomes much more of a uniter. And again, we're working very closely with Dallas 360 to understand how the street could play a more multimodal role within the overall network of downtown. It could be greener. That's another one of our challenges here, is to make a place that's more comfortable for people to walk in a very hot climate, and a climate that's only going to be getting hotter. And to prevent this sort of divide that has always existed between one side and another, of north and south. And to also make this a gateway to the district in terms of making it a place for art. We call it Avenue to the Arts as opposed to Avenue of the Arts. Imagine how far the DART station is just down a few blocks. Do people really know that they can get to the Arts District from the DART station? It would be great if they felt comfortable making that walk. The Floor Street, which, as I mentioned, had been well guided by the Sasaki plan, was now 30 years old. A lot of regulations had changed for ADA access. A lot of the vegetation that was originally prescribed by Sasaki seemed to no longer really meet the needs of those tenants that wanted to put retail uses on the street. The streets and the paving didn't really work very well. And every time anybody wanted to break from those standards, they found themselves in trouble with the city because they suddenly weren't meeting the requirements. So we felt, I think everybody felt, it was about time to update those standards and make them work better for the kind of mixed-use district that we all envisioned. And I think Hall Arts was a good example of, they struggled mightily to adjust the guidelines. So we wanted to make it easy for people to do good things on the street without fighting the guidelines that had been a bit old. And the paving was all coming up and needed to be replaced anyway. So this is more sort of a picture of what we think eventually Flora Street could look more like. Again, many of the features of Flora Street have been enormously successful, the sort of flush curbs. But a lot of things have changed, and a lot of the way people move about has changed. And we think that we're beginning to see this new era, the way Flora Street can look now, with Hall Arts, and hopefully with Atelier Flora, we'll begin to flesh out what this future may look like with more street-level activity, which, to give Sasaki credit, was always envisioned in the original plan, but never actually realized in that era. Before people started moving back to the city. So now we're beginning to see the kind of district that they envisioned oh so long ago. One of the most important reasons why we're proposing extending the district to the other side of Ross is not because we care so much about a block away from Ross, we care about Ross. Ross Avenue has the potential to be a sort of a sister street to Flora, in the sense that it would be a great urban boulevard if it hadn't been given over so completely to the car. And we believe that 360 envisions Ross Avenue as something very different in the future, whether that be light rail or bikeways. And we wanted to make sure that the guidelines that the Arts District can take charge of would apply to both sides of Ross Avenue. It's no sense having guidelines only apply to one side of the street when we really want to create a wonderful street life on both sides. And I'm happy to say that the Trammell Crow project has already encapsulated a lot of what we suggested, which were additional setbacks, lots of openness on the ground floor. We're already beginning to see the transformation on Trammell Crow on both sides of the street. And this is exactly what we're hoping to see more of as Ross Avenue becomes something above beyond what it has been in many years, something that's not exactly a great walking environment. And this is the image of it. Already you can see that this looks a little bit like what Trammell Crow came up with, where there's a lot of at-grade activity, and even the Trammell Crow 1 has now a new market, and it's opened itself up to the outside. It's no longer surrounding itself with walls. So already we're seeing, I guess that's the advantage of being in a plan that's taken as long as it has. We're beginning to see fruits of our labor already. The fourth strategy was to improve gateways. And we felt that As time has gone on, a lot of these sort of informational signs have become perhaps a little bit less important as everybody runs around with their iPhones, they know how to get places. What they really want to do is know that they've entered the arts district. And so while we're a little bit less on the technology side, we felt that one of the challenges here is to create a sense of letting people know when they arrived in the arts district. And so we've identified several corridors by which when you arrive in the arts district, there will be public art at those locations. And I think we've always advocated that we're trying to bring art outside the walls of the institution and make it more accessible, more visible, and more friendly to people who just are walking through the area, may not even be here because of the arts district, but want to be in this great neighborhood. And so these have not been realized yet. We're hoping that this is one of the things that we can embark upon, and that will be one of the steps. A last key strategy, which I mentioned before, was reconnecting now Clybourne Park has been very successful in bringing people to downtown, but there's still this sort of odd gap between it and Perot Museum. There's a grade change, there's a highway, lots of highway interchange. One of our charges was to look at how we could improve connections. And while it's technically outside of the PD areas, we felt that we would be remiss if we didn't try to solve this problem that every parent has when they take their kids to Clive Warren and then want to come down to Ross Perot. What is that experience like? And so we've identified, and I think we'll have to have partners help us, assist us in making sure that these last couple of blocks heading to the west eventually are as fun and pedestrian friendly as the rest of the arts district. And that concludes. I think I was going to have Luis DeMeyer come up and tell a little bit about what the process is going to be like.
And I am a chief planner of the city of Dallas. And I have been fortunate enough to work with Lily Weiss on the vision and plan document that they've been working to create, and NBPJ's guidance on creating such beautiful vision graphics. Thank you for that. I wanted to talk to you about the two processes that are going on. One, of course, is this planning document, a vision. It's laid out some key strategies and goals, and that is different from the zoning document, which we're kicking off this evening as well, the zoning concept. The idea is that these two documents and these two things work together. The plan provides the vision as to where we want to go, and the zoning provides the rules and regulations, the rules of the road for future development. We're kicking off these two processes, even though the planning has been done by the Arts Connect plan. But this certainly kicks off the public comment period for both. We welcome you to ask questions and provide guidance on both the plan and the zoning. And our job will be to make sure that these run and speak to each other as we move forward. Nathan will be talking about the zoning process now and moving forward on the land regulations. So, Nathan.
Thank you so much for coming tonight. I'm Nathan Warren. I'm a senior planner, and I'm going to walk you through an overview of the current zoning, authorized hearing process, and next steps. On May 24th, 2017, City Council initiated a zoning case on property zone Plan Development District number 145, Plan Development District 708, and Central Area District 1. This is the general location of the authorized hearing. Uptown is directly opposite side of Woodall Rogers Freeway. The Baylor Medical District and Deep Ellum are to the east. Downtown is to the south. Victory Park is to the west of the Arts District. Here's a closer look at the authorized hearing area. It is bound by St. Paul Street to the south, San Jacinto to the east, Central Expressway to the north, and Woodall Rogers Freeway to the west. The authorized hearing area is made up of three zoning districts. In green is Plan Development District number 145. It is bound by St. Paul Street to the south, Ross Avenue to the east, Roos Street to the north, and Woodall Rogers Street to the west. In purple is Plan Development District number 708. It is bound by Ross Street to the south, Ross Avenue to the east, Central Expressway to the north, and Woodall Rogers Freeway to the west. And in blue is Central Area District 1. It is bound by St. Paul Street to the south, Ross Avenue to the west, and San Jacinto Street to the east and north. So what's the difference between these three zoning districts? Plan Development District number 145 was created in 1991 and refers to Chapter 51. The Sasaki Plan serves as a guideline for development in this district and is subject to the floor street frontage area. Plan Development District number 708 was created in 2005 and refers to Chapter 51A. The Sasaki Plan also serves as a guideline in this district and is also subject to the floor street frontage area. And Central Area District 1 is a base zoning district in Chapter 51A. Its development standards can be found in Article 4 of Chapter 51A. So let's take a closer look at the development standards chart for these three zoning districts. And as you can tell, they're very similar. In fact, in both plan development districts, there's a provision that reads, unless otherwise provided in this article, all regulations applicable to the CA1A Central Area District apply within this district. So what does that mean for this area? The focal point of the change revolves around replacing the Sasaki Plan that was established in August of 1982. The vision for the Arts District will be revisited as a new plan is devised. Now let's talk about the authorized hearing process. This slide shows the six steps of the authorized hearing process. We are on the second step of this process, the first community meeting. The first step took place on May 24th, 2017, when Council initiated this authorized hearing. The second step, where we currently are in the process, is the first community meeting. The immediate next step of the process is the steering committee meetings. Council Member Blewett will appoint the steering committee. The meetings will be open to the public to observe. The fourth step in the process is the second community meeting. Once the community formulates the recommendation, we will hold another community meeting to share the steering committee's findings. The fifth step in the process is the public hearing with City Planning Commission. This is a public forum in which citizens will have the opportunity to speak in support or opposition of the proposed amendments. The sixth and final step in the process is the public hearing with City Council. This is another public forum in which citizens will have an opportunity to speak in support or in opposition of the proposed amendments. City Council will have the final say as to what, if any, changes are made. In our next steps, the steering committee will be appointed by Councilmember Blewett. Generally, steering committees are comprised of 15 people or less. The committee will be a mix of stakeholders, representative of the authorized hearing area, and other interested parties. The members must be committed to meet on a regular basis, typically once every 2 weeks until a consensus recommendation is formed. This concludes our presentation. If you have additional questions, please contact me at the email or phone number listed. Thank you, and we'll now do question and answer.
I'm Amy Lewis Hoffman, the Senior Director of the Crow Museum of Asian Art. of the University of Texas at Dallas and the chair of the Dallas Arts District. So I'm going to turn both ways. Councilman Blewett, on behalf of the Dallas Arts District and the Crow Museum of Asian Art, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you to Augustine and the Dallas Museum of Art for hosting this most beautiful public meeting I've ever been to. But this is also a very important discussion, and we are grateful for your leadership to this community and to our city. You're already doing a great job. I've served as the chair of the Dallas Arts District for the past 2 years and have been a neighbor in good standing for 21 years as of tomorrow. I worked with a remarkable team from 2006 to 2009 to create the Dallas Arts District organization as we know it today. The Sasaki Plan, forged by visionaries from 1979 to 1984, offered a bold design plan for a critical mix of cultural, educational, religious, and commercial neighbors. In these 40 years, the city has blossomed around us, and the habits of humans couldn't have been predicted or envisioned, as this community has far exceeded the vision of our founders. For the best, truly. Sasaki gave us what we needed to grow, and now we stand before you, representing a plan that honors the design integrity of the first chapter and takes us into the next decades with relevancy and endearing magnetism for all. For the past 4 years, initially led by Kevin Moriarty, Artistic Director of the Dallas Theater Center, our board and our brilliant leaders, Lily Weiss and Jill Magnuson, the Dallas Arts District Connect Plan has been the highest priority of our work. The 5 Pritzker Prize-winning architects in our neighborhood set a very high bar for our city's success as a walkable, drivable, parkable neighborhood. We have to get this right. With these guiding principles, we will be a place that is easy to get to and easy to linger a little longer. Dallas deserves an exemplary urban experience where culture and business are accessible, safe, and attractive. In 1979, the Arts District founders originally considered just 4 city blocks as our footprint, and those with a bolder vision expanded it to 68 acres, literally overnight in a grand sweep of city council votes. That vision to be the largest arts district in the world requires equal and contemporary vision and commitment to continue making this community the best it can be, with the best consultants, the highest commitment, the best consultants and the highest commitment to design. The city's support of this plan honors both the 1979 commitment to our future and to the generations that will come to dance, look, listen, grow, and connect in our spaces. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm actually making a statement of support as well. My name is Lucilo Pena. I live, work, and play in the Arts District. Mm-hmm. I live at One Arts. I work with Billingsley at One Arts, so I actually take an elevator to work. I'm also on the board of the AT&T Performing Arts Center. I'm on the board of the DMA, and I'm the chair of the Program Advisory Committee at the National. So I'm very involved with a lot of the organizations that are near and dear to my heart and care deeply about this program and what is going on. We might all ask, why now? Why does the Sasaki plan need to be changed? And the way we look at walkability, mixed use, transparency is completely different now than what it was in 1982. And one simple example, the Sasaki plan requires 3 rows of trees on the sidewalk, and there were variances granted to the Wiley and the Winspear and Booker T and Hall because that doesn't encourage transparency and walkability. It really creates a barrier. That's one example. And then we're talking about being involved with this since 2015. But I would actually go even further back. I've been in the area for a long time, and I recall one day when Jack Lane, the director of the DMA, and Ray Nasher called a committee meeting because they were extremely concerned about Pearl Street being a divider of the arts district, and that it was creating the visual arts and the performing arts, and that we're really two neighborhoods, and we needed to weave it back together. And from then is when all the conversations started, and there's been a lot of thinking and a lot of discussion since then. I'd also like to mention that there was a lot of thought given when we hired MBBJ. We put out an RFP, there were various big firms involved, but MBBJ has been working in Dallas for a long time with Alex Streeter, and they know Dallas, they know what this area is about. And then lastly, I have been on the infrastructure committee forever. And one of the things I wanted to say is, this has been something that has been worked through with the cultural institutions, the religious institutions, the commercial institutions, and the city. We have all been working on this, you know, together, thinking through everything that could happen. So I just wanted to get up and give you a little different perspective and tell you how important I think this is for all of us. Thank you.
While we're looking for another question, I will just be more clear about my role in this. My role is to make sure this process is open and transparent. So while I'm not going to put my thumb on the scale of what I want or what I think should happen, I will tell you that I believe in neighborhood cohesion. I believe in connectivity. I believe in the Arts District as a separate neighborhood. So I'm interested to see how this process unfolds, and I'm supportive. The next step for me, of course, is going to be appointing a steering committee, and we will be talking through the different specific items that will update the plan and update this area. So I am not weighing in on it other than making sure the process is followed. So is there anybody else that had a question?
Hello, I'm Leanne Laughlin. I'm not very good at public speaking, but thank you, Augustine and the DMA, for having us today. Thank you, new Councilman Blewett, for
I'm not allowed to say new anymore. I've been told after a few months they don't care.
Welcome. I am Vice President of Real Estate of Residential Programs at Fir Hall Group, so for Craig Hall's company, that has most recently developed Hall Arts. We are excited to tell you that we're opening our hotel, the Hall Arts Hotel, next month. It will be the first hotel in the Arts District, and we hope it's just a sign of many more new things to come. We will quickly follow that with opening of our residential tower in the spring. I also, where Lucy is, have served on the Infrastructure Committee for a long time, and it's been my honor to do that because I've learned so much about our Arts District that I didn't really know before I went to work at Hall Group. So I think what we would like to stress is that there's been a lot of thought and care given to this plan over the past several years. Thank you, Lily, for your leadership in doing so. I know it has been a big task, and we're looking forward to helping you carry it over the goal line here. We are looking forward to changing the Arts District to more of a 24/7, very walkable, energetic environment. And while we already have great office towers and residential towers and restaurants, and even a new Royal Blue Grocery that recently opened, along with our celebrated venues for the performing arts and the museums as well, we look forward to what the new plan could carry forward from the old plan and make our future even brighter. So if there's anything that Hall Group or any of us that have worked on the Infrastructure Committee can answer questions for you, I'd be more than happy to. And we support this plan wholeheartedly. Thank you.
And while we're waiting for another question, I was remiss in my duties to point out, you know, I don't do this job alone. I have a lot of help from people who care about this district, this city, and in specific terms, I would point out that I have Zach Romero in my office. He is a point person on a variety of policy issues, including zoning things that are in my office. So He is a good person. If you have something offline you want to talk to, please do reach out to Zach. He's a great resource. I would also point out that I have an appointed person here tonight, Amanda Schultz, is over here. She is the District 14 Park Board representative. So whether it's Clyde Warren or a whole bunch of parks downtown, she is heavily involved in things happening here, and she wanted to be here to make sure, again, connectivity, neighborhoods, green space. She is a good resource and a great, great person to have on our team. So thank you, Amanda. I appreciate you being here. Anybody else have a question? Well, I don't know how late we're going to go. We're going to keep it kind of short because, like I said, this is phase one. I mean, it's already been in process, but under me, phase one, phase two, we'll take next steps. We'll be public about what we're going to be doing. Everything will be transparent, and hopefully we'll have lots of community engagement, lots of ideas. Reach out to Zach in my office. My email address is real simple. It's david.blewett@dallascityhall.com. So if you have a question about tonight or in general, please do reach out to me. I am committed to following the process, being open, and answering any questions that you all have. If nobody else has anything else, thank you for coming. I'm sorry, one question.
It's going to be great.
And I will see you at the next meeting.